We're back for another edition of the Midweek Minute with the Superintendent, the first one of January here, 2025. Welcome in, Dr. Michelle Eller. I am so excited about this. This is a big, big deal, celebrating the Sylacauga City Schools Foundation. Yesterday, the milestone was made of $2 million raised. And this morning, we're talking with Dr. Joe Morton, who is a former superintendent for Sylacauga City Schools and the founder of the Sylacauga City Schools Foundation. This is really just an impressive milestone. And I just cannot wait to really unpack and tell the listeners how this came to be. The fruition that we that was had here, I'm just going to turn it over to you. I know you in the leadership role that you're in are just ecstatic.
So I've only seen this model one other time. Mm-hmm. As I mentioned to you beforehand, I worked 3.5 years for Eufaula City Schools prior to going to Chickasaw and prior to coming here as superintendent, and it was there that I first saw a foundation in place, and that one was managed by the Alabama Power Company. And so little did I know that that foundation was actually mirrored off of what Dr. Joe Morton had already put in place here in Sylacauga. So, and I was able to see the benefit it had for our teachers in Eufaula. Mm-hmm. And how wonderful it was there to provide funds for projects, for books, for supplies that we could not provide funds for. And so to me, it just was really neat to see that, you know, that came about to fruition based on what was here in place. And, you know, I just felt like it was important for our listeners to hear from Dr. Joe Morton on the history, the why behind it, and really the benefit that it has had for our school system all these years since the onset.
It's an incredible effort, and it is something I know that you're undoubtedly proud of for creating it and seeing it through for all these years. Welcome in, and thank you for being here. Where do we even begin? How did it all start?
Well, you have to go back a few years. I came in 1978, as superintendent, and many of your listeners today won't remember that schools used to have a financial catastrophe that occurred about every 4 years. It was called proration. And the state legislature would pass a budget and revenues did not meet expectations, then the state would cut the amount of money that went to local schools. And a lot of things that got cut were like teacher supply money, library supply money, things of that nature. So we were in one of those crises in the 80s, and I was trying to come up with an idea that would be perpetual, that would keep us from having to suffer years of no money for instructional supplies and teacher assistance. And I just kind of stumbled on the concept of university foundations, and I got to thinking, why are they exclusive to universities? So I came up with the concept of a foundation for Sylacauga City Schools, and then I started trying to research who had such a thing, and I couldn't find anybody that had one for public schools. So we just kind of pieced together on our own how to create this thing called the Sylacauga City Schools Foundation, and there was a big supporter in our city, Lister Proctor, who was in the legislature. He was a state senator and a lawyer. And I met with him and the local school board to get their blessings on this, which they gave. And so Lister and I just kind of pieced together how this might come about. And he was very helpful in applying to the IRS for foundation status and 501c3 IRS status. So we launched. And we had 26 original members, and one of those members was our own sitting congressman, Bill Nichols, who graduated from Sylacauga. His father was an administrator in what they call the 4th District Agricultural School, so he's real proud of being from Sylacauga. And he was on our foundation board, and we were going to have a kickoff event at our house in December of 88, and He and his wife are notorious for leaving Washington and driving virtually nonstop to Sylacauga. That's just what he did. They didn't fly, they drove. So he went to work about 4 o'clock that morning and died at his office with a heart attack. And they were coming straight from, he had told Carolyn, his wife, you pick me up at 7 o'clock in the morning and we'll drive straight through and go to Joe and Margaret's house for the kickoff of the foundation. And so he passed away and we had the event. Of course, there was a, it was a solemn kind of event. We had lost one of our own, one everybody loved. And he became the focus of our first chair. So we named it the Bill Nichols Chair. And if you go to look on the wall at the high school where all the plaques are for the chairs, he's number one.
Wow. I would have never known. What an incredible story. I mean, just knowing that the force that he was behind it, and of course, you know, how knowing that he would have wanted to see it to what it is today, and you know he would be proud of
and those,
what it is.
What's interesting is he had his funeral here. It was at First Methodist Church, and they had two buses that were rented, and they were filled with members of Congress that flew to Birmingham, came in a bus, two buses, to the First United Methodist Church in Sylacauga to attend his funeral. And then we announced that he was going to be the recipient of the first chair, but somebody had to give $25,000 because that was the value of our chair. And all of a sudden, checks started coming from literally around the world. I got a check from Hong Kong, somebody he had met in some activity in Congress, and they said, I want to remember my friend Bill Nichols.
Wow.
It was a check written on a bank in Hong Kong.
Wow.
They were from literally every state. Many members of Congress donated to the Bill Nichols Chair.
And
a lot of local people, obviously, local citizens of Sylacauga, because he was so very popular.
That's absolutely incredible. I mean, it really is. That just shows you the legacy that somebody can leave behind when they're so revered. So since that moment in time, you have perpetuated this foundation, and there was an alliance with Alabama Power along the way.
Well, there was. Trying to grow the foundation, we tried a lot of different angles, trying to get people to remember loved ones who had passed on, companies, corporations. Avondale Mills was big at that time. There is a John Hudson, who was president, a local fella again, who became president of Avondale Mills. There's a John Hudson chair that Avondale Mills paid for. But I came up with the idea that I happened to be lucky enough to be in the first class of Leadership Alabama, and Elmer Harris, the president of Alabama Power, was in that class. So I got to know him halfway well. So I got an appointment, went to Birmingham, and just bluntly asked him for a chair for our foundation. And he asked a lot of questions just before he wrote a check for $25,000. But one of the things he did agree to was to fund the chair. But he wanted something in return, and that was to use the Sylacauga model to create a booklet that would be sent to every school district in Alabama, paid for by Alabama Power, so they could learn how to create their foundations. And at the height of that activity, through tracking it by the Alabama Power Foundation that they have, at one time there were 88 local school district foundations in Alabama, all patterned after Sylacauga. I don't know if anybody tracks that today, but there was a time when there were 88.
I mean, and one of the 88 was the one you follow that you saw.
Small world.
It really is. And here we are full circle.
Right. And who knew I would end up here?
Well, I was going to say, what does that mean for you to be in the position that you were in to then have this closeness with Dr. Morton here?
Well, I think it gives me a different appreciation for it, having seen it before. A lot of times you don't know what you have unless you've been in places that didn't have it. And of course, when I was in the classroom, we didn't have anything like it in Elmore County. I would have loved to have had additional funding opportunities. I was that teacher that wrote grants everywhere to everybody else to try to get money for my classroom.
So speaking of grants, the Sylacauga City Schools Foundation has received, this is in addition to the $2 million that's been invested, $1.5 million in grant
money. Is what they've given out.
Is what they've given out. Excuse me. Yes. So
our teachers and our students have benefited from that.
Yeah. I mean, it's really an incredible, sorry, I had the phrasing wrong there. Sorry. But yes, that's what's been given out. So where does the money go? How is it being used in the Sylacauga City school system?
Well, Dr. Eller would know more than anyone, but one thing we've been able to do by growing our investments for the last 3 years, and we're going to have a budget that will be proposed to the foundation board next week, is that we go ahead and adopt a budget that would fund again this year $50,000 in grants for teachers. So each year, the teachers of Sylacauga get $50,000 in grants, and they can collaborate, they can pool their application, so two or three or four teachers can go together and apply for a bigger grant. But we don't direct them per se. We work very closely with Dr. Eller and her staff, and if there is a need, which there was some 6 or 8 years ago, and one of the local businesses, Toyota Sylacauga, said, well, we'll support you. So they kicked in some money for several years on math. And between what they kicked in, what we were able to put in, what Dr. Eller was able to pool with her staff on funds they had, there was a big effort to improve math scores, and they did improve.
Yes.
So
it's amazing what you can do when you have the right calculators and graph paper and, you know, other supplies that are needed. You know, it's amazing what you can accomplish.
It's so exciting because in my experience, both as a local superintendent and as a state superintendent, the more partners that a local school district has, the better off that district will be.
Yes.
So if you've got like Safe and Earth here in Sylacauga and the Sylacauga City Schools Foundation and the Chamber of Commerce and civic clubs, if they all are active in supporting the schools will be much, much better. So the more community partners, the better, and we're just proud to be one of those.
Well, it also shows that you are good stewards of your money. When it comes to investing and knowing that the benefit in the classroom is showing that grades are going up, teachers are getting the resources they need, students are learning firsthand, you can't get any better than that.
Well, even coming back from COVID, a lot of the needs that we saw in our buildings changed some to more of a mental health focus. And so several of our teachers wrote grants to fund sensory rooms so that our students and even some of the staff might have a safe place where they can regroup, realign, before going back into the classroom. And so those are needs that we know are needed that our state doesn't necessarily provide funding for.
Right.
To create things such as that nature. I mean, we've had teachers that purchased the kits so that they could do the whole butterfly study with the students, and they're able to see the whole process of the butterfly cycle all that goes through with that. We've had others that have written grants for the outdoor gardens. Mm-hmm. I mean, you name it. Mm-hmm. But things that normally, you know, their teacher supply money of $1,000 can't fund. And we don't have extra funding just to do those neat hands-on
What are the projects. Qualifications for applying for a grant internally?
So we put a couple of measures in place so that we weren't just frivolously applying for things.
Sure.
And so our teachers have an application that they fill out with some rationale in there of, you know, why for the project, the supplies, things of that nature. And then it goes to their building level administrator first for that administrator to say, yes, you know, this would be a viable project to have it, you know, in my building. This does meet our strategic plan goals. This does meet our ASIP goals. You know, we kind of look at all those things as well. And then from there, it goes to central office. And there have been some that we did have funds to cover, whether it be a new funding source that came through that allowed us to fund technology resources. For a long time, the foundation provided some of the digital instructional tools that our teachers love to use, like No Red Ink and things of that nature. Well, we received funding that could be used for that. And so we check first at central office, and if it's something that we have a funding source for, then we go back and say, you know, you're not going to get a grant, you know, don't apply for a grant. We will fund this ourselves. And that way it leads the ones that actually make it to the foundation are ones that we don't have any funding source to cover.
And we have a committee on the foundation called the Grants Committee. It's chaired by Mrs. Priscilla Cleveland. And they review all the grant applications and then make determinations. And fortunately, for the last, I guess, 2 years, we've been able to fund, I think, every grant.
It's incredible to know that, you know, you're able to do what it is, that the teachers are asking for.
Right.
And you have it readily available. Talk about the leadership since you have left the position of creating it and now it being undertaken by Ms. Carol Sprayberry and the perpetual vision of the foundation as we move forward.
Well, we're trying to improve every year. I'm still active with the foundation. I chair the finance committee. And one of the best things we ever did was hire Carol Sprayberry, a retired teacher, very organized. She gets the job done, and she's our executive director. And by having her on board, we can do things we just didn't have the volunteer capacity to do. And she keeps us focused as well. So we have a fun run in the fall, and we have Christmas with Santa, and we have a lot of the brick campaign and the marble plaque campaign at the high school stadium that there again, because of the partnership with the school system, that all works. So we've had so much luck with chairs that we had to build a second wall to house all the plaques.
That is a good problem to have.
That's
for
a great, a great problem to have. I hope we continue having that problem. But we just cease to be amazed at how some chairs evolve. We'll get a call sometimes out of the blue that says, my grandmother or my grandfather or my aunt loved Sylacauga, graduated from Sylacauga, and we want to do a chair to honor them or her or those people that have gone on. And a lot of them are that way. We have a lot of businesses that have donated $25,000 to have their name on a plaque, and we're so appreciative of them. So we're always trying to improve and reach out and do a little more, but the whole purpose is to be able to support the teachers and to improve student achievement. That was why the foundation was founded, and it basically is still the goal today.
Yeah,
it's doing it.
It without a doubt is. Dr. Joe Morton, thank you for being here as our special guest this morning. And of course, always thank you to Dr. Michelle Eller. We really appreciate it. And congratulations on the $2 million mark. That's great.
Yes,
thank you.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Exciting.
You can learn more.
Invite us back when we hit three.
Oh, you got it. You have a standing invitation anytime, anytime. You can learn more about the Sylacauga City Schools Foundation online at scsfoundation.net.